Our reading this evening comes from the first epistle of John. We read from the fourth chapter, and we read from verse 7 through to verse 21. Verse 7 through to verse 21. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he is God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence in the day of judgment. Because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. May the Lord bless to us our reading from his holy word. Amen. I don't know if you remember, but I remember when I was in school, we used to have lessons on how to write a letter. Remember? You would be told how to put your address, the date, and then the contents of the letter, an introduction, second paragraph was the meat of the letter, what you wanted to say, and the final paragraph was to bring it all together very nicely. And you had a choice then. You could either put yours sincerely, if it was someone who was close to you, or yours faithfully. Yeah? And you could sign the letter at the end. Now, I don't know if that's still in school, but think of the age in which we live in now. When did you have an email that says, "Dear so-and-so"? Huh? And I get now, not "dear," but "Hi, Dave." Yeah? "Hi, Dave." And then, of course, the message would come. And what about texting? You don't have a chance in texting to get any sort of salutations whatsoever, or any conclusions, really. Normally I get it says, "ta-ta" at the end. How things have changed. Letter writing seems to have gone out of focus in the days in which we are living. Now when we come to the epistles and the letters in the New Testament, they are all written so very, very carefully and very, very precisely. You can't read any of them without realizing that. They're all set out in a particular way. Paul especially had a particular style of writing that was surely very special in the way in which he expressed that which he believed. He would always begin his letters with greetings and salutations to the people there. But then he would enter into the deep things he wanted to say about the reality of God's love and God's grace in Jesus Christ. We've been looking at the epistle to the Romans, how true it is of the Romans. All the chapters in Romans lead to that one truth of the incarnate Christ that had brought salvation to the world. Now the Apostle John writes his epistles, two epistles in the New Testament, epistles that speak of his experience, of God's grace. He begins in the beginning in the Gospels, you remember. He doesn't give any sort of greetings to begin. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." In his epistle, which we're looking at tonight, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. It was John's desire, through these epistles, writing to the early church to combat heresy and to ensure that the truth of the incarnation was proclaimed, that he spoke and laid out his particular epistles. He speaks then of the word of life. He speaks about walking in the light. He always addresses those who receive the letter as "my dear children." There's an affinity here. There's a way in which he speaks here, that he expresses the fondness that he has for those fellow believers. And through it all, he speaks of the amazing love of God. By the time we come to the fourth chapter, which we read he speaks about the central message of the epistle. Dear friends, let us love one another because love is of God. He's come to the message now. He's written the letter. Everything is there. Later on, he will conclude it by affirming those things. And that's what he speaks to us tonight through this word. God is love, and in him there is no darkness. He is entirely light. Dear friends, let us love one another because love comes from God. Let us forgive others because we cannot say we love God if we hate our brother. Well, the practicalities, it's all there within this wonderful context of God's amazing love. So what can we say of it to us tonight gathered here who come to worship God and to learn more of him? Well, in the very beginning, we can say that this is God's love to us. It is agape love, a love that describes the love of God, a love which gives and sacrifices for the highest good of another person. There are other forms of love, eros love, love of pleasure, philia describes attraction such as close friendship, but the agape love is the love of God in Christ. So dear friends, let's begin at the beginning. God is love. Isn't that wonderful to know tonight in this dark and evil world? To know at the center of this universe is a God who cares. Jesus said he is not only our creator, not even our sustainer, but our Father who is in heaven. The lovely story in Luke chapter 15 of the prodigal son. Who would have forgiven that scoundrel? Who would have loved him for all he had done? Taking all the money, squandered it on prostitutes. And he was eating the food of pigs in the end. But he knew his father loved him still. Could he come home to that love? He took a chance. And his father ran and embraced him and kissed him. That's the amazing love of God. Cariad heb dechrayed arno. Cariad heb dim diwedd iddo. Tonight we worship a God who is love, dear friends. In this dark and evil world, in all we are hearing politically and sociologically in the world today, there is a Father in heaven who loves us. And he has proved that, John said, by sending his only Son into the world. This coming of Jesus into the world was central to the doctrine of John. He speaks not of Bethlehem, but he speaks of the incarnate, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. Now, I don't know about you, when you were in school, probably like me, you know, you could sit down, you couldn't understand everything, but if somebody showed you a picture, it was easier, wasn't it? They say one picture is better than 1,000 words. We didn't have in school in my day, all those years ago, we didn't have PowerPoint, and we didn't have AI, and we didn't have anything like that at all, did we? We were so bereft. How we managed, no one knows. But by today, we can see anything in the press of a button. You can create pictures by AI. Yeah? I know there's one of our friends in the congregation this evening. I saw him with hair on his head for the first time through AI. I'm not going to say who it is, but he's on the gallery. The reality is, everything we can see now is so profound. We can see it before our very eyes, can we not? And that's what John is saying. Look, there's no more excuses now. You have seen him. Christ has come. He has lived among us. He has shared the love of the Father. He has given to you and me the opportunity of knowing the very heart of God. We can see the picture is there. And he speaks about it, his hands having touched him, his ears having heard him, because we have beheld his glory. That of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Isn't it wonderful to know that we look to Jesus and see the fullness of God's grace? This is love in action. It is not even an emotion anymore. It isn't only talk anymore. The prophet spoke of one who would come. But John records in his gospel, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's God's gift to you and me, everlasting life through trust and faith in Jesus. Because God is a holy and righteous God. He is a God of love. But sin has marred our relationship with him. Like the prodigal, we have lived in the distant land. We have lived at a distance from God. We have followed our own desires. And we are condemned in our sin. But there's a Saviour tonight, dear friends. And he embraces us in love and care and forgiveness and grace. That's the very nature of the character of God. Because we have beheld him, one of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The World Cup is on at the moment. Yeah, Scotland did well yesterday. Pity we didn't qualify, but that's another thing. Nations from all over the world coming to celebrate, kicking a ball around the field. Yeah, that's all it is. Think about it. It's kicking a ball around the field. We used to play in the ballast every weekend with that. Yeah, But it's been magnified into something. So, and nothing wrong with that. Nobody loves football. No, I don't love football. That's wrong to say. But I enjoy watching a game of football. I really do. It's exciting. The excitement is there. But it's been magnified to something now that's possibly world-changing. And the money involved in it is billions and billions and billions of dollars in the World Cup. And it's a celebration of all the nations of the world. Wow. Just to watch it is quite amazing. You know. And the reality is, it is of man. Man has sought to build his own empires. I watched the 1966 World Cup on a black and white television in our front room. Remember that? Yeah. It's all over. It is now. How things have changed. But the world hasn't changed. And for all the world can offer you, dear friends, from all the magnificence of the achievements of man, one day they will crumble. One day they will be no more. They will not exist beyond the measure of humanity's ability to restore our lives until that day will come when we have to leave this world. And then we have nothing in terms of worldly possessions. Not a thing. All the billionaires of the world, they have to leave it all behind. Every penny of it. It won't be of worth to them. But for us who are in Christ, we have a treasure beyond money. We have a Saviour who intercedes for us. And in the hymn that we often sing, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Mr. Trump is having his 80th birthday party tonight. Did you have an invite? I didn't. What a celebration is going to be there. Woo, look at all the millions of pounds that we spent on a cage boxing fight, didn't we? Wow, and all the world, everybody's going to pay millions of pounds or dollars to just be there. Yeah. And they're afraid that the rain will come and the gnats will come and we'll all be spoilt. Because if that might well happen, when we invest in the things of the world, then they will fade. If we invest in possessions, if we invest, build for us castles here on earth, then we will lose exactly what John is saying here. We will lose that greatest gift that God gives to us, that gift of salvation, the forgiveness of sins, the joy of knowing Christ and serving him. You, dear children, are from God, he says, and overcome the world, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. What a wonderful gospel message this is. What a wonderful hope we have in this dark and evil world in which we are a part. What a Saviour we have. We have seen him. We have beheld him. He is the only begotten of the Father who came in the fullness of time to declare to us this very truth that God is love. And John the Apostle, the beloved disciple, the disciple who I think was more, if you like, more sensitive than perhaps Simon Peter and the others, who declared this, who had thought long and hard about what he had experienced, was now able to say that this is what I give to you. This is my gift to you. That's God's gift to you and me tonight, when we trust and believe in Jesus Christ. That's God's gift of eternal life to you and me tonight, when we trust and believe in Jesus Christ. That's God's hope within our hearts, that one day we will see him face to face, and in that time we will know the fulfillment of that promise has been wonderfully fulfilled. And what about that promise of heaven? What about that vision that John had of heaven? There was no more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying. Why? The former things have passed away now. They're gone. And I saw the new Jerusalem, the holy city coming down from God as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. I will be their God and they will be my people. We are his people tonight. And we weren't blessed for that. We are his people tonight. We're in the world, but we're not of the world, because we are trusted and believed in him. So dear friends, let us celebrate the faith once given to the saint. Let us remember that first little verse we said as children, do, carry, do. Let's remember tonight it is a gift of God's grace. Jesus came to show us that love, to give us an opportunity to respond to that love, that we might surely be those who seek to do his will. And the church, remember, he's writing to the church, the community of God's people. These people would be suffering before long terrible persecution for their faith. There were some people coming into the church who were speaking of false doctrines, trying to deny the incarnation. But God, John says, no. In him did all the fullness of the deity choose to dwell. So the love of God, God is love. We have seen that fully in Jesus. And he gives us that promise, that joy of eternal life with him. But then he takes us a step further. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God. Whoever does not love does not know God. Whoever does not love does not know God. That's quite a statement, isn't it, when you think about it? Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. We have spoken about us, when we receive Christ, being vessels of the Holy Spirit, being ambassadors of his love into the world. And that's why the challenge of the church is grounded in that which God has done. And God has given this message to the church to proclaim in the age in which we are living. An age that is full of darkness and evil and sin. A world that is on the precipice when it comes to wars and rumours of wars. And we see the arrogance and the cruelty of men. But they are those who do not know God. They may have a sense of religiosity. You can be religious, mind. Oh, you can be very religious. You can follow all the doctrines. You can say this, that, and the other. You can show to the world as if you're someone who's highly religious. And because of that, perhaps seek the confidence and the acclaim of others. Yes, the Pharisees and scribes were exactly like that. They were whitewashed sepulchres. That's what Jesus called them. And they didn't like that. But that was the truth which he expressed to them. No. When we love God, the presence of God is within us. And we seek then to love others in his name. And that love is an atoning love. That love shares the good news of Christ with others. And that's how we can do it in the daily living of which we are a part. Perhaps we're not all called to preach the gospel, not to be missionaries to go to the furthest corners of the earth. But you and I, when we love Jesus, let's pray that Jesus will be seen in our lives. Yeah. To be seen in our lives. And when we love each other, and when we love Christ, then it is natural that his presence will be in us. Remember years ago, and there was a HMV, the motive of HMV was of a little dog, remember, looking into a funnel of a gramophone. Do you remember that? And he was listening intently, and the motive expressed, the fact is, that the recording, he was listening to his master's voice. That's why he was so intent. He was listening to his master's voice. He recognized the voice. And he recognized the voice, and because of that, he was listening intently. It's when we listen to the master, when we listen to what he tells us to do, in that we too can be the means by which we can help and serve others, because we know him, like John knew him. We have trusted and believed in him. We have made that step of faith in him. And we are new creations in Christ. That does not make us religious people. It makes us the people of God, with the sense of God's presence within us that enables us to love others and to care for others in his name. That is the mission of the church. The mission that God calls us, this fellowship. It's the spiritual union of believers with Christ, as well as communion with the Father and fellow believers. That's what this church is, and every church that bears his name. We tolerate each other in love. We give in to each other in love. We do not allow the influences of the world to mar that relationship we have with one another. And the pulpit isn't 6 foot above contradiction. The pulpit sometimes, don't look for perfection in the minister or Greenfield, because you won't find it. Well, I'm nearly perfect, but not quite. No, you know what I mean? The reality is we're imperfect people. We've gone astray. Sometimes we get things wrong. But we have a Saviour. And we look to him, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And we know that he will never leave us or forsake us. And we know that in the spirit in the power of the Holy Spirit, we are united with Christ and with one another. Because of the Master's voice. Because we will have listened to him. Because we will have shared together these good things of God. Do you know, at the end of Luke 15, where Jesus speaks of the prodigal son, he says there is rejoicing, there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 people who do not need to repent. You know this, when someone comes to Christ, there's celebration in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to know that? And that's why in the family of faith, we have different personalities, different likes and dislikes. We love each other. This agape love must be seen in our lives. It was C.S. Lewis who said, "The rule for all of us is perfectly simple. Do not waste time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did. As soon as we do this, we learn one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you love someone, you will presently come to love them." That's the grace of God working in your life and in mine. So, dear friends, as we look at 1 John, and as we begin to understand the meaning of this letter, it is so relevant to us today. It begins with God and it ends with God. It begins with the very essence of the Godhead who is love, and who in Christ has entered the world of his creation that we might have seen this love. John had seen him. John had been with him. And John speaks about his experience of having been with Jesus. And these men and women who had been with Jesus went out to change the world. And that's why we are here tonight as the same church, as the same company of believers, that we are in the world but not of the world, that we seek to do the will of Christ at every opportunity, that we follow in his ways, that we seek to bring others into the kingdom of God. Not that we are perfect people, we are imperfect people, but being perfected in the power of the Holy Spirit. And in that confidence and in that hope, we live day by day. Do not love the world, because the world will lead to destruction. For the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has done, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And that's why, as the people of God, we affirm tonight that God indeed is love. And so to bring this message together, I would leave you with that word. And I would proclaim to this good news to us all tonight, the reality of God's forgiveness and grace in Christ. And if you do not know him, to trust and believe in him, and to make that step of faith, and to know the promises are so wonderfully fulfilled. Now, we do not know who is going to win the World Cup. It's a few weeks before us. But everything is leading towards that final game. Yeah, when the cup will be raised. Yeah. And we do not know who it's going to be. And you know, in our lives, we are going along the way. And one day, changed from glory into glory. Till in heaven we take our place. Till we cast our crowns before thee. Lost in wonder, love and praise. I hope that we will take that to our hearts tonight, and to know that reality, to know that joy, to know that peace as the people of God. God indeed is love, and in him there is no darkness at all. To his name be the glory. Amen.